Put your hands together one more time for Jesus this morning. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How many of you have been enjoying our Joshua series? If you're here for the first time, we welcome you today. And we've been working through a book in the Bible called Joshua for a little while now. I'm going to continue with that right now. So open up your hearts as we continue to read into what God has for us in the book of Joshua. Why don't you get your Bibles right now? Get your Bibles right now. Well, let's turn to that book together, the book of Joshua. We're going to read from chapter 7. Verses 2 to 7. If you were here at the 9 a.m. service, Pastor Kevin already spoke on this message, on this passage of scripture. A powerful message, a really good message. I don't have a good enough impersonation of Gollum, so I'm not going to do that. Yours was the best. But we're going to continue. We're going to look at that scripture once again, right here in this service. So Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 to 7, say this. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth-Aven. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36. Say 36. Say 36. And they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you're going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side." Two great battles kind of kick off the book of Joshua. One of those battles we looked at last week, the Battle of Jericho. We looked at how miraculously God caused the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down. The Israelites had the most strangest strategy given to them by God to walk around the city walls over 7 days, and on the seventh day to walk around it 7 times, blow the trumpets, shout, and then God caused the walls to fall down. An incredible and miraculous strategy. They rushed in. They got gold and silver and they brought it back to the temple of the Lord, and everything else was completely destroyed. It was an amazing battle. The second big battle of Joshua was this one, the Battle of Ai, where Israel lost 36-0. 36-0. Now, if that was basketball, that would be quite a crazy score. If it was rugby, probably just as bad, if not worse. 36-0? Like, dude, what's going on? 36-0? If that was football, that would just be ridiculous. Straight ridiculous. That wouldn't even be a football match. That was just target practice. But what about lives? What about real lives? What about when it's not just a game? What about when it's real? Real lives, 36 real lives that died in this battle. Potentially from 36 families. 36 families in mourning. Why? Why did the 36 die? Imagine if you were the one that had to go to each family, one by one, and let them know the news. Your husband, your son, your brother has fallen in battle. after the big euphoria of Jericho, after the amazing miracle that was wrought before their very eyes. Imagine those families that night sitting there looking at each other, asking why? Why did the 36 die? Why did our man die? The Bible says that the Israelites in that moment became paralyzed with fear and lost all their courage. All the energy, all the momentum, all the joy, all the celebration that came from being released from the wilderness, brought into the promised land, miraculously crossing the Jordan River, and then seeing the walls of Jericho fall down, all of that gone in a moment when they heard that 36 died. 36-0. The Israelites made absolutely no dent on that little village of Ai. And it was just a village in comparison to Jericho. Jericho, a big city right there in the valley. Ai, this little village town type thing up there on the mountain. It was nothing in comparison. They were able to defeat Jericho, but were soundly defeated by Ai. And those families mourned that day as they asked themselves and as they asked each other, why did the 36 die? Even Joshua himself found himself there with the elders, laying out before the ark of the Lord, laying out before God, asking God, why? Why did this happen? I thought we were on a roll. I thought we were on a winning streak. I thought you were with us. How is it that we got so utterly humiliated? And it wasn't just a game, Lord. 36 of my men died today. Sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you were going to let the Amorites kill us? God told Joshua right there. How he said it, I don't know. Was it a voice in the air? Was it a voice in his heart? I don't know, but God made it clear to Joshua as he cried out that Israel, that nation, had messed up. They'd messed up. You see, it was said, it was commanded that when they went into Jericho, that big city in the valley, that they should go in there when the walls fall down and destroy everything. Destroy everything. Apart from the gold and the silver and the bronze, take the gold, silver, and bronze and put it in the treasury. Take nothing for yourself. Take nothing for yourself. Don't take one piece of silver. Don't take one bar of gold. Don't take an earring. Don't take a bracelet. Don't take a ring for your finger. Don't take a thing. Everything is either going to be destroyed or put in the treasury. Destroyed or put in the treasury. And amazingly enough, almost everyone did it. Almost everyone. That's a heavy deal, man. We're talking about rushing into a city and putting your life on the line against people who were in fear, destroying everything and taking nothing for yourself. Nothing? Can't I have nothing out of this? Really? I have to rush into this city and not think of myself? I've got to rush into this city and do nothing for myself? Really? And almost everybody actually did it. Almost. God told Joshua as he laid out there in the presence of the Lord, crying, agonizing, mourning. God told him, the reason why you lost this battle today is because Israel took some of the stuff that I said was to be destroyed or dedicated. Israel took some of the stuff. And by doing that, you'd broken the covenant. He said, Israel broke the covenant today. Israel broke our agreement. Israel broke it today. And that's why the 36 died. That's why they died. Because someone broke the covenant. The first thing I'll say about this is that God told Joshua. God told him. God told him somebody did what we told them not to do. It reminds me of when I first came to Victory Outreach, and I was in 1994. There was a man called Pastor Mitchell Peterson, who was an elder. He still is an elder, and he was overseeing all the churches in the UK and Ireland and Europe. But he'd gone back to America to do some stuff. So I hadn't seen him. I was just this new kid. I was 17 years old, just bumbling around the church, just happy to feel like I belong somewhere. And then someone said to me, people started to say, Pastor Mitchell's coming back. Pastor Mitchell's coming back. Pastor Mitchell's coming back. And I'm like, who? Pastor Mitchell's coming back. Who's Pastor Mitchell? Oh, Pastor Mitchell. He's a man of God. Is he a man of God? Yeah, he's a man of God. Oh, I can't wait to meet the man of God. But listen, when you see him, don't look in his eyes. It's like, what? Don't look in his eyes. He looks right into you. He does. He looks right into me. Don't look in his eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. Gullible 17-year-old. I'm there. And finally, a little bit later, he does arrive. Pastor Mitchell comes back to England. And then I'm walking down this corridor in the church. And I'm walking down the corridor. He walked the other way. I was like, it's Pastor Mitchell. I was like, please, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You'll see it all. You'll see everything. Don't look at me. He's like, hey, Anthony. Oh, he knows my name, dude. I didn't look at him. I was like, hey, Pastor Mitchell. Hey. It's like a scripture in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says this in Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee, though no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Pastor Mitchell weren't chasing me. He went after me to come and dig out my life. But the wicked flee when no one even's running after you because of a guilty conscience. Because you know that stuff ain't right in your life. Because you know that stuff ain't how it should be. And so you're there and you're already paranoid. You're there in church and then you see Pastor Paul look at you. You're like, oh gosh, he's talking about me. He knows he's talking about me. I know he knows. He saw it. You look somewhere else and, oh no, they know too. Oh no, everyone knows. And you just keep walking and like, hi everyone. Or you put on a plastic face. Hey, hi, I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, I am. But inside, you're running. The righteous don't have to run. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are like, hey, pleased to meet you this morning. God bless you. There's a peace inside the righteous that is lacking in the ones that are hiding something. The wicked flee even when no one pursues. God told Joshua. He said, Joshua, something's up. Joshua knew. But the second thing, God didn't tell Joshua everything. God could have told Joshua it was Achan. Achan is the guy. God could have told him by name. Achan is the guy, Joshua. Get up and go and find Achan. Go and find Achan. You know Achan of the tribe of Zimri. Get that guy. He's the one. But God didn't tell Joshua everything. He told Joshua something, but didn't tell him everything. It's almost like he was giving Achan a chance. He said, this is what you're going to do, Joshua. Go and find this tribe. And so he gets that tribe, the whole tribe. Okay, now within this tribe, there's a clan. Find that clan. So then Joshua, the clan, let me get that clan. Calls out that clan from the tribe. And then from the clan, now in this clan, there's a family. This whole long process of elimination. God didn't have to do that. God could have just told Joshua, it's Achan. But no, he took him step by step by step. It's almost like he was given Achan time. It's like he was saying, Achan, You got a moment right now. You can confess. You can fess up right now. You can just take the covers off. You can tell the truth. You can just say it how it is, man. Don't wait to be found out. You step up, step out, and admit what you did wrong. But no, that whole time, there was Achan, the wicked flee, but someone was pursuing this time. Go and get that clan. Guess that clan. Achan's like, you know, just... His wife's next to him. She won't say nothing. Shush. Go and get that family. Who's that family? Daddy, are we in that family? Yeah, shush. What are they doing, Daddy? Shush. Daddy, someone said something about gold. Is that the gold that you... Shut up! Achan at any time could have just said, it was me. But he spent his mercy until eventually it came down to him. Joshua's like, you? You? But you look so together, Achan. You look like you have it all together, Achan. Couldn't it be you? You know all the words to all the songs. You don't watch the screen. Can't be you. When I say God is good, you say all the time. And then when I say all the time, you say God is good. Like you know. Can't be you, Achan. You? Achan's like, yeah. It was me. Look at this, verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me. Achan finally replied, it's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much, I just took them. They're hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest. So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent and found the stolen goods there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. Achan was the guy. It was him. The whole nation, all the warriors, rushed into Jericho. Rushed in. They destroyed everything, but they saw the gold. They saw the silver. They saw the bronze, but they remembered the covenant. They remembered that the Lord said, don't touch it. They remembered the Lord said, don't take it. So they picked it up. They even handled it. They handled it, but they brought it and they put it in the treasury. They gave it to God. They put it where it belonged, and they destroyed everything else. Everyone did it. Everyone was together. Everyone did it. Even if one person makes a wrong move in a match, the whole team loses. And Achan was the guy. He was the one. The robe looked so pretty. The silver looked so fine. The gold was so shiny. And he was the man. He said, you know what? I know what I can do with this. I know I'm not meant to touch it. I know I'm not meant to have it. I know I'm not meant to keep it. But if I can just hide it in the ground, being under my tent, no one's ever gonna know. No one's gonna know what I've been doing. No one's gonna know what I've been seeing. No one's gonna know what I've been handling. No one's gonna know what I've been saying. No one's gonna know what I've been touching. No one's gonna know where I've been going. No one's gonna find out. I'm gonna hide it in the ground beneath my tent, and no one's ever gonna find out. But God told Joshua. I find it interesting that he hid it in the ground. The ground. I mean, okay, sure enough, they didn't have two-story houses with attics and basements and nice little storage compartments. I know. There isn't many places you can hide it in a tent, right? So I guess it makes sense. He hid it in the ground. But the ground, that's the land. God promised them the land. God promised them the land. He said, this is your land. On this land, I'm going to bless you. On this land, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a nation on this land, on this ground, everywhere. The sole of your foot treads on this ground. It belongs to you. This is all yours. All of it's yours. I'm giving it all to you. Don't sell for a little bit of gold. Well, I want to give you everything. He dug it in the ground. You see, back in their wilderness days, they didn't have to do much with the ground. Because God would send miracles every day. God would send manna every day from heaven. God would send birds, quail every day from heaven. And it would be like food, like dropping right there, like meals on wheels. Like, here you go. Food's ready. Send dinner every day, every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. But once they got to the new land, to the promised land, it says that the manna stopped falling. Because no longer were they going to just expect this bread to fall from heaven. Now it's going to be up to them to work the promised land. Because the land belonged to them. From this point on, no longer would they have to be waiting for manna. But they would sow into the ground and then reap what they sow. And then eat what they reap. Sow in the ground. Reap what you sow. And eat what you reap. They weren't slaves no more. No, these guys were no longer slaves. They were becoming owners. They were becoming possessors. God was going to bless them. God was going to give them a land. On that land, they could build homes and build houses. On that land, they could build temples. On that land, they could build schools. On that land, they could raise livestock. They wouldn't have to wander lost in the wilderness anymore. See, they were free in the wilderness, but they were still lost. They were free, but they were lost. They were free because they weren't slaves anymore, but they hadn't got to their land yet. Like many Christians today are free, but still lost. God set you free. God delivered you from whatever he delivered you from, but you still haven't found your purpose. You still haven't found your destiny. You're still kind of wandering. Sometimes you might even still be in and out a little bit. You still haven't fully decided you're going to live this life. You're free, but you're still lost. Just like them people in the wilderness. They were free from Egypt, but they were still wandering. But once they got to this land, they would have to wander no more. Once they put foot on this land, now they could build something. Don't you want to build something? I said, don't you want to build something? Don't want to just be an X this and an X that and an X the other. Don't you want to build something with your life? Don't you want to go somewhere with your life? Don't you want to raise up a family? Raise up disciples? Don't you want to do something with your life? Don't just be an X something coming out of a wilderness, but stand, build something, sow in the ground, reap what you sow, and eat what you reap. But Achan, what did he sow in the ground? He's there digging in his promised land. Digging in his promised land. Digging in his promised land. And instead of sowing righteousness, instead of sowing holiness, instead of sowing a good conscience before God, he sowed his little secret. The principle goes both ways. You sow in the ground, you reap what you sow, and you eat what you reap. Achan sowed sin in the ground. Achan sowed selfishness in the ground. So it was only a matter of time before he'd reap it. And today was the day. Why did he do it? He just wanted it. He just wanted it. I don't know, maybe when he grew up, his family never had gold. Maybe all the other kids had nice robes and he never had a nice robe. And now he has a chance to have his own nice robe. Oh, you don't know how I grew up. You don't know how what I went through. That's why I want it. Don't you understand now? See, if you understood why I want it, wouldn't it be okay? If you understood my story, wouldn't it be okay to want that now? Can I have it now? Can I have it, please? God said, no. No, I know how you grew up, and I still say no. You can't have it. But like Adam and Eve, he saw that gold like fruit on a tree. He picked it. He sowed it. And he was about to eat it. What I also find very interesting is this. Where did he sow it? He sowed it at home. He sowed it in his tent. He sowed it under his family. See, he could have gone somewhere else and sowed his secret. He could have gone somewhere else. He could have gone and found some bush somewhere, or he could have gone and found someone else's tent, or I don't know, he could have done anything. But no, at home. You know, where Achan can be Achan. Where Achan doesn't have to wear the mask. Where Achan doesn't have to pretend. Where Achan can just be himself. That's where he was being himself. That's where he took his gold, took his silver, took his robe, and he hid it under his family. You see, it was more than just 36 men that died that day. It wasn't just the 36 men that died that day. Achan's family died that day. Because he sowed his secret under his family. Maybe they knew about it. Maybe they knew. You shouldn't be doing that, Achan. That shouldn't be in this house, Achan. That shouldn't be here. You gotta take that outside. I'm not having it. You can't put that here. You can't do that here. You can't behave like that here. That's not happening here. This is our tent too, Achan. It's not just your tent. It's our tent too. You gotta get that thing out. It's not coming in here. I'm not letting it pass this door. But they let it in, man. They let it in. There's Johnny and Susie. What are you doing, Dad? What are you doing? Shush, man. That's really nice. Can I touch it? In his house, man. There was no peace in his home because of what he buried in the ground. There was no peace. The children didn't wake up in the morning in the presence of God. Because of what he hid in the ground. I used to love that about living with Pastor Mitchell. Yeah, you know, I talked about Pastor Mitchell at the beginning. Eventually, he moved me into his house. And I was living there, right there in his house, man. That was the first time in my life that I ever felt like a son. He brought me in. And his wife said to me, "You're going to stay right here until you get married." I was like, man, I belong somewhere. This is so cool. Every morning, I mean every morning, whether it was 6 a.m., whether it was 5 a.m., whether it was earlier, I never woke up without hearing the voice of Pastor Mitchell downstairs praying. Never. I could even try and beat him. I couldn't beat him. But doesn't he ever sleep? Every morning, I would wake up to the sound of Pastor Mitchell getting a hold of God downstairs, crying out to God, asking God to move in his life, asking God to bless his ministry, asking God to bless his finances, asking God to bless his family, asking God to move every morning. But in Achan's tent, they never woke up like that. There was something always missing in the atmosphere in Achan's house.
There was something always just not quite right in Achan's house because Achan had hidden something in the ground. And not only that, not only did he bury the gold and bury the robe, it says that he buried the silver deeper than the rest. See, there were layers to Achan. There was the sin that was the obvious, the sin that was more on the surface. Oh yeah, I got a little smoking problem. Oh yeah, I got a little drinking problem. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's true. Yeah, okay, I got a temper thing. Yeah, it's true. Okay, yeah. There was the stuff that was more to the surface, that was easily seen. But deeper than the rest is where he hid the silver. Because there's other stuff deeper than the surface stuff. The deeper issues of the heart. The deeper issues. The deeper sins. The deeper struggles. He said, I'm sorry, man. I did. I took it and I hid it deeper than the rest. How often do we do like Adam and Eve and try and hide and put the silver deeper than the rest? The stuff we shouldn't watch, we put it deeper than the rest. The things we shouldn't touch, we put it deeper than the rest. The fear, we put it deeper than the rest. We bury it. Put that one down first. Push it down. Put that one down. No one's finding that one. Deeper than the rest. But the truth is, it's all the same to God. God doesn't look at the ones that are on the surface and the ones that are deeper and say, oh, well, there's a difference. To God, it's all sin. It's all in the ground. It was all not allowed, and it was all in the ground. There are some things that we find harder to let go than others. There are some things that we find harder to let go than others. But God wants it all. That's the word today, church. God wants it all. He says, listen, give me your everything. Give me your everything. You want to possess this land? You want to possess the land? Give me everything. Stop hiding that. Stop hiding it. Give me your everything. God was so patient with Achan. He went tribe by tribe. And then he went clan by clan. Like with some of us, he goes week by week. Give it to me. Give it to me. I'm not ready. I can't give it to you. Give it to me. Day by day, give it to me. No, I can't give it to you. Give it to me. No, I can't. Stop looking at me. I know you can see it. Don't look at me. I know you can see it. The wicked flee, the no one pursues. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Stop looking at me. What, day by day, morning by morning. So it's on your mind all day. Then it's on your mind all night. And God's saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Clan by clan. Then family by family. Until they said, Achan. God says, give me everything. Don't hold anything back anymore. Don't you know I've given you the land? I love you. I want to give you everything. I want to bless you, and I want to bless your children, and I want to bless your children's children. I want to bless you for generations. I want to make a great nation out of you. I want to bless all the people of the world through you. I want to bless your family, and I want to bless your extended family, and I want to bless your colleagues, and I want to bless your friends, and I want to bless your community, and I want to bless your church. I want to do it through you. Don't you understand? I want to do it through you. Everything everything you say you haven't got. I want to bless you, everything you say you need. I want to bless you, everything you never got when you were younger. I want to bless you every time you feel lonely. I want to bless you every time you feel confused. I want to bless you. Just give it all to me. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. Don't put it away. Bring it out. Bring it into the sunshine. Let me take it. Let me have it. Let me deal with it. I'm going to bless you. God wants it all today. And I don't know who's here today. God told Joshua, he didn't tell me. But God knows. God knows what's hidden in the ground beneath your tent, beneath your bed, beneath your house, in your heart. And God says to you today, I want it all today. I want to read one more scripture today, which is from John chapter 15. Could you put it on the screen for me? John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5 says this. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot bear fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And today, church, as you come to the keyboard, this is a promise for us. Just like a branch connected to the vine that bears fruit, God wants to make us fruitful. There are so many ideas that God wants to give you. There are so many open doors that God wants to give us. There are so many fresh opportunities that God wants to bring into our lives. God wants to bless you, church. God wants to bless us. God wants to open the windows of heaven. God wants to cause us to sow in the ground, reap what we sow, and eat the fruit of righteousness. But a branch that doesn't bear fruit gets cut off. And that's what happened to Achan that day. Achan, his wife, his kids, the whole family, they were cut off from Israel that day. Jesus gives the warning, don't be cut off, man. But he also gives the promise, remain in me. Remain in me. Abide in me. Get the presence of God back in your heart. Get the presence of God back in your house. Get the presence of God back in your mind. Remain in me as I remain in you. You're going to bear fruit. You are going to bear fruit. The songwriters are going to write songs. The business people are going to build businesses. The teachers are going to see their students pass. The students are going to pass. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit, man. You know how you used to walk around depressed? You're going to be depressed no more, man. It's going to be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. People used to look at you and say, why is your face all twisted? It's going to change. They're going to be like, man,
You always look so happy. How come you always look so happy? It's all going to turn around. Oh, there'll still be hard times, but even in the hard time, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit in the winter, just like you bear fruit in the spring and the summer. Everyone around you is going to be like, what have you got? What is it you've got? And you'll be able to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's changed my life. I'm not the same man, and I'm not the same woman. I'm new. He changed me. You're going to bear fruit if you remain in Him. Church, honestly, I don't know whether in your life God's at the clan stage or the family stage. I don't know where the scrutiny is. Maybe you have years. Maybe you have months. Maybe you have weeks. Maybe you're here today and you know that you need to give your life to Jesus, but you have put it off. And you've put it off, and you've put it off, making this excuse, making that excuse. I'm not ready yet. I still want this, like Achan wanted the gold, and I still want that, like Achan wanted the robe. And deep down, I still want that, like Achan put the silver deep down. But God says to you today, today is your day. Today is your day. Don't wait until I call your name. Come. Give your life to Jesus today. I'll never forget the young man I met from the home. He was doing good. Until one day I came, I saw him sitting outside a pub knocking back pints. And I'm like, what are you doing here? This and that. And every excuse under the sun. They do this and they said this. And something inside of me just like felt urgent. And I was like, come now. Come with me now. Come with me right now. It's like, no, man. No, I've had enough. No. I'm like, dude, come with me now. No, man. Nah. And I had to walk away. Never saw that guy again. I just heard about what happened. I heard it when he OD'd. I don't know what day it is for you, but God was so patient with Achan, and God is patient with you, my friend. God's patient with me, and He says, listen, let's do it today. Just deal with it today. Give your life to Jesus today. Get that stuff out today. Don't wait for me to come and get it. Bring it out today. Bring it to me. Lay it out before me, because I want to bless you. Let's stand to our feet today, church. If this is your first time to Victory Church Manchester, it's not always this heavy. You're like, dude, what did I just walk into? They go hard in that church. But you know what? Honestly, though, we just don't know how much time we have left. Let's get it right today, church. Let's get it right today. Come on, just begin to lift your hands right now. Just begin to speak to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.